Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy, and good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and we will be sharing, I think this will be airing on the 20th. We're actually a little bit ahead of that, but because we're trying to get ahead of me particularly being gone in Iceland and Austria.
Yeah, you've got lots of travel coming up.
Lots of travel coming up and doing retreats, and it's going to be fun. I did a new content that maybe we'll share sometime on the podcast about fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And it was very, very interesting to dig into it. Even when he asked me to do it, it was like, why?
Oh, interesting.
You know, hey, fruit, I know about fruit. You know, he said, I don't think you do. So it was very amazing. I mean, just a beautiful, deep, profound study of the essence. Interesting enough, it's the essence of abiding and kingdom and covenant and all of this is around fruit. You know, so it's really interesting. And what it's all about. So that'll be fun to, we're going to do that retreat up in Austria. So with our leader. So that's going to be fun to do. Well, as we're, you know, obviously we've been talking about things going on in the world. We spend a lot of time, you know, discussing Israel because remember Israel is going to be the center of attention of the end times and the Middle East and lots going on in Israel. We've shared recently that, you know, there's lots of interesting activity about Iran, which is Iran is developing a nuclear weapon, which Israel, you know, can't allow to happen. And because of what we know in scripture, either they never get there or it never is used because Israel exists. So we already know the outcome of it, you know, so it'll be interesting. Okay, well, how is that going to work? You know, how does that happen? Which is kind of fun to see. But, you know, Trump is... has been attempting to negotiate with Iran about you stop doing that and then we'll do this. Two things about it, and we heard this from Eric and Rabbi, is that because Iran is dishonorable, it doesn't matter if they have an agreement, they won't follow the agreement.
Right. And that's been shown to them, demonstrated time and time again to them.
Yeah, over and over and over and over again, you know, so that they, as far as they're concerned, it doesn't even matter if you come to an agreement. That doesn't prevent them from having to look at what they really have to do about it because they either have to truly dismantle it and be observed that they're dismantling it or, you know, Israel's going to take action. And, you know, Trump had made a statement that, that Iran has already said that they're stopping their development of a bomb. That's what they said. Yesterday, a news article comes out that an agency, a world agency, investigated, are they continuing developing the bomb? And the answer was, yes, they are. So even now they're saying, we're not. He said, no, they are. So don't be fooled, you know, by that.
Which is
so
exactly what was expected,
And by the way, the prices of oil went up because of it. They believe that they're getting ready to strike something there militarily. And we know that if they believe that it's going to get closer to be finished, they will do something. And the question is it kind of what I call a wink, wink from America is that, well, we're going to try to negotiate this, but we basically under the table say to you, Israel, if you need to go do something, go do it, do it.
Go do it. Right.
Or they haven't really said anything about it. And or even ask Israel, please don't do it at the moment. Israel then will decide on their own what they're going to do. And it's always about self-preservation. So for our audience, it's this is kind of a big deal that has to be played out pretty soon in the next weeks and months because they're supposedly close to getting the bomb finished. And their goal, by the way, is to launch it on Israel. I mean, so it's not fuzzy. And we know it doesn't happen. And the question is, how does it not happen? So pay attention and keep looking and keep understanding it. And it depends on what they do, by the way. The interesting enough, the immediate impact, which you've actually already felt a little bit, is that gas prices are going to go up.
Right.
If that happens.
I have an odd question for you on that. Thinking, I don't know enough about the technology, but if Iran did, I mean, Israel is so small, really. Wouldn't that impact the surrounding countries as well?
Yes. Yeah, the fallout, what they call a fallout, I mean, there's an immediate destruction of the bomb itself.
Mm-hmm.
If it lands, and it's widespread. But the fallout will come out over a lot of the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
which will have long-term negative impact.
Right, yeah. It now, seems like some other players would have some vested interest in that not happening as well.
Well, they do. And that is, you know, think of Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, as we line up the, you know, the let's say the ideology behind all this
mm-hmm.
is that the Muslims per se, because of the depth of the Quran and their belief in the Quran, is everybody who doesn't believe they believe is called an infidel.
Right.
And an infidel in the Quran is to be eliminated. Mm-hmm. And it's kill them, literally kill them.
Right.
Get them out of there and end their ability to function. Now, everybody who's a Muslim at the core of the belief would be that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is an infidel and they have to process it. Now, because of how they've developed, it even goes deeper than that. So that there's what we call different sects, S-E-C-T-S,
mm-hmm.
of the Muslim faith. And there's two or three or four of them, but the big two are the Shiites. And the Shiites are the extremists who absolutely go to the depth of the Quran and say, we want to eliminate all infidels, interesting enough, including the other sects, which are Sunnis. And there's Kurds, et cetera. But Sunnis right. are more moderate, and they're not what would be called extremists. And matter of fact, in the last 10 years, the Sunni has really gravitated toward more of a Western, what's called a Western, you know, Europe, United States mentality of allowing some freedom and relaxing some of their own rules. Like, for example, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, the wife of even a sheik who's riding in a limo would have to be walking behind them, or they'd mm-hmm. have to be transported behind them. They couldn't even be in the same car, and they certainly couldn't drive ever a car, you know. And right. if they were with their husbands, they had to be walking behind their husbands. And well, 10 years later, they're driving. And they can drive in the same car. And so they've kind of relaxed it where they've allowed some freedom. And think of it, you know, and this is kind of a funny way, but think of, you know, America, who is built on freedom, which actually we're going to have a little devotion when we get to July 4th about this, but they're built on freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the first 100 years, they, not quite 100 years, but they allowed slavery,
mm-hmm.
where the people that were enslaved weren't free.
Right.
So it was built on freedom, but functionally, yeah, but we have this system, you know, of slavery. And then secondly, women couldn't vote.
Right.
You know, until Susan B. Anthony came along. And so, well, over time, those things were moderated, obviously. So slavery was won through the war and ended. And there was freedom there. But even then, it was, you know, they've had a lot of difficulty because of prejudice. And then women, it wasn't until the 1900s that the women got the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But it relaxed from here's a rule,
mm-hmm.
and then it relaxed. So that's happening in the Sunni nations.
Interesting. Okay.
Their rules are starting to get moderated.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving more toward freedom. And they like the economic benefit of it.
Mm.
So that the opportunity for Saudi Arabia, which is what Trump just did with a big deal, supposedly with that, and he did it also with some other nations, and some of the other nations actually are funding terrorists, so there's an issue about that. But the Saudis are trying to actually, because of the wealth that they've been building up from the oil, which, by the way, we're dependent on, and we pay for it, most of it, they're diversifying.
Mm-hmm.
And let's build a bit bigger and better economy, and let's relax a little bit. Let's be with, and we don't want to eliminate. We don't want to have a theology at the moment of eliminating infidels. Let's cooperate with what they would call infidels,
mm-hmm.
and people that would cooperate. Well, one of them is Israel.
Okay.
So there's been several Sunni nations that have actually developed formal trade agreements and freedom where you can travel back and forth. You can do business with each other be for the benefit of everybody involved. The Saudis have never signed that agreement, but they have supported Israel. And this is, and what you raised up is kind of the reason. And it's this.
Mm.
the Iran, who's Shiite,
right,
wants to eliminate the Sunnis.
Interesting. Okay.
So they're not pro-Muslim. They're pro-Shiite and anti-Sunni. Okay. Well, Saudi Arabia is Sunni.
Right.
And they know what you just said. If they develop the bomb and they launch the bomb, guess who's next to Israel?
Right.
Saudi Arabia. We don't want them to be launching nothing. And by the way, it'll throw everything into chaos. So they quietly support Israel because they say, well, we, Saudi Arabia, we can't go in and bomb them, but you can. So for example, we'll let you fly over our country to do that.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, your question, which kind of sounds funny, can you contain it to just that little space in Israel? No. You can't. And we know that because of the Bible, see, they all are there and they're not gone and they're not decimated. So we know that something happened. So it'll be interesting to follow what happens here and where it goes with Israel and what does Israel do. We know that they're ready to do something. And we'll be interesting when we have Eric and Rabbi in, and next time we'll meet with them will be in July. But maybe by that time, by the way, something will have already happened.
Right.
With Iran. It's really going to be interesting. And interesting. Now this is funny. Funny, not ha-ha funny. It's strange. And the Shiites, in a sense, are so blinded by their ideology of killing and controlling and domineering. And these are all, by the way, led by dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not what you would call benevolent dictators.
Right.
They are so geared to their single ideology of eliminating Israel and then eliminating the Sunnis if they could. And that would include Christians, include the United States, anybody that is not a true believer, which they would say would only be them. We actually want to go kill them. We want to eliminate them. They're so focused on that. That they actually have no, interesting enough, they have no care for the people that live in their countries. So if you look at, you know, Iraq is half and half basically Sunni Shiite. So they have complete turmoil just because of the division in that country. Iran is, you know, pretty pure Shiite. And there's reports right now, which is something that Israel's trying to factor, is that, and I think we'll ask Rabbi about this because he'll have some really good information, will be they're not having enough food to eat. They're not having fuel. They're not having water. The economy is falling apart.
Right.
People are suffering dramatically in this country, by the way. Mm-hmm. That if, and I know this is where Trump is attempting to go, if you normalize your economy, and they could easily do it because they have oil.
Right.
And if they properly did it, like Kuwait, for example, Kuwait is a little nation next to Israel, which, by the way, I don't know if everybody remembers this, but this was the reason for George Bush's original war with Iraq, is that Iraq invaded.
That's right. Yeah.
And so they came to the aid of Kuwait and wound up with winning the war in pretty fast. And it was called the war on television. You could literally watch the bombs being launched and do their stuff. And it was, you know, it lasted a couple of weeks, you know, cause they were so much powerful, but Kuwait, and a lot of, and like Saudis, et cetera, they, what they call share the wealth. So that because they're so wealthy, because of the oil that is very high priced for them, so they make great margin.
Right.
And
so their citizens all benefit from that.
But the citizens are benefiting because they said, let's share that wealth with our population. And the people in, you know, Bahrain and UAE and Kuwait, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, they all are enjoying a very positive economic life. And by the way, that's kind of the underneath it all, they're saying to their leadership is, don't blow that.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, if you ask them, are you a pure Muslim? Yeah. Do you believe in the Quran? Yeah. Do you believe in killing infidels? Yeah, kind of, but we've decided not to, you know, and we're going to cooperate with the infidels. And why? Well, because people enjoy the economic benefit of it. Well,
right.
In Iran, see, not only are they spending all their time and energy on developing the bomb, but they don't take care of their people. So the economy in Iran is falling apart.
Mm.
Now, Israel would hope, then why don't you rise up and overthrow the government?
Right.
But they have so much power and so much control, particularly militarily, is that they are afraid to. They would like to. And something like 60, 70, 80% of the population said, we don't want to operate this way anymore.
Mm.
We would like to go more toward normalization like Saudi Arabia has done. And we, by the way, we have the resources, and it wouldn't take much to change it a little bit and have a very strong positive economic condition, which the people itself would like, particularly when they're suffering. And, and they're
the current government does not want that because they have the benefits of holding all the wealth.
That's right. We have the wealth, and we actually don't want you to do that. And we're not changing the system. Why? Because we're so idealistically opposed to Israel, which again, for the Israelis, like, it doesn't make sense because we don't want to kill you. We don't want to take over you. We want you to just live the way you want to. Just let us live our life. We're more of a democracy. They're like a mini United States. Is that, you know, we just like to have peace. We want to have an economic conditions. We want to have freedom. We want to have voting. Let's just enjoy life together. But they constantly are being, you know, whacked by the, you know, the aspect of the countries around them, all led by Iraq. Iran. So think of Iran, that they're the source or the root of it. And what we've been talking about over the last several months, particularly with Eric and Rabbi, Hamas. Interesting enough, Hamas, as opposed to the other groups, are Sunni, but they're extremist. Mm-hmm. And they've adopted, so they, because of their extremism, they linked in with the Shiites out of Iran.
Okay.
And Iran funded their military operation against Israel. And remember, West Bank and then Gaza. And this is what Eric and Rabbi helped us understand, is that we know Iran is led by extremist leaders and the people aren't really for that.
Mm-hmm.
In Gaza, the people are pretty much all extremist and have a thought of, we'd like to eliminate Israel, not just a few leaders, but the entire population of that. Now, Gaza's decimated because of what happened, you know, with October 7th and then Israel coming back and basically eliminating them all. Hamas still exists. There's some talk right now that Hamas is kind of saying, you know what, we're willing to kind of just quit all this. Now, it doesn't mean they ultimately will, because I remember Eric said, yeah, they'll agree. 2 years later, they're going to be back. But they're saying, why don't we just, you know, go back to normal and you guys start investing back in Gaza. But they're Shiites, but they were funded by Hezbollah. North is Shiite, but they live in Lebanon, and Lebanon is more per se. The people of Lebanon, the leaders of Lebanon, are more friendly to Saudi Arabia and to Israel. But you've got this extremist sect inside of Lebanon functioning, and they've let them do that basically, and that's why they had to push them back, you know, but behind the Tani River. But that's stable right now. But they're funded by Iran as well. You've got the Houthis, they're out of Yemen, funded by Iran. You've got the Shiites in Iraq that are funded by Iran. And everybody, and then you got the
sounds like everybody's funded by Iran except for the Iran population.
Yeah, and the Muslim Brotherhood, which is in the West Bank, you know, and that's starting to be a problem because of it. So you've got a nation that has these different groups. All behind it is Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And if Israel knows, if they could do something against Iran that would neutralize them, then all these other groups would really kind of dissipate or not have the power that they have, because the source of it is Iran.
Right.
So what we have to watch for, you know, and God, you know, remember, says that in James, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I'll tell you generously, liberally, with great understanding. And you just got to believe that I'll tell you that our question, and we're asking our audience to ask this question. If you get some input or insight about it, we'd love to hear from you. Is, we know what Iran is up to. We know it's in what we call in play right now, because they're close to having the ability to deliver a nuclear weapon. The United States is negotiating something right now. Israel is ready to do something militarily. Okay, that's all known. What we don't know, how is this going to play out? And what do we need to observe? And what do we need to watch for? And what's the impact of that? So what we're asking for is wisdom to understand not only what we see happening, but Father, what now do you, are you going to let us know is the way it's going to go? Knowing we know something, which is they don't develop it to the point where they eliminated Israel.
Right.
Because why? Well, the Bible says so. So that's kind of cool. So we kind of know the end. We just don't know what's happening in between. So, you know, just as we keep thinking about this, would be, you know, don't, I guess, say, well, it doesn't matter because it's Israel. Is that mm-hmm. No, this is about the dynamics of the entire world, which of which we're a player. And the impact of that has impact on us.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if we're headed for the end, what does that mean about preparation? What does that mean about timing? And what is it you're trying to show us about it? Because Jesus did say, watch the signs. And in my mind, this is a gigantic sign mm-hmm. that things are heating up in the Middle East, where we know Israel is the center of attention, particularly
right.
toward the end. So Father, we thank you for helping us understand that there is things happening, and we're just asked for wisdom to understand it. We can see it moving, and we just don't know yet how it's going to intersect with what you have in mind and what's going to happen here. So we just pray that we'll get wisdom about that. We'll get insight. We all will watch it, and then we'll be able to see what happens as we know the end of it. We just don't know the timing of that. And so we praise you and thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. Always interesting just to hear what's going on and get some further insight on that. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them into us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.